So today is All Saints Day. And All Saints Day is a day in which the church takes a few moments and acknowledges that we have days for apostles. We have days for evangelists. We have days for missionaries. We have days when Jesus went into this town and when Jesus went into that town. And we have days when we acknowledge everything. But there are people whom we never acknowledge. And they were saints. And we will never know their names. And while our reading today was from Revelation, the reading which is in a different tradition comes from the book of Ecclesiasticus. And this is a Greek book. And Greek Orthodox churches and Russian Orthodox churches, they'll be reading from this. It's a book from the Apocrypha in Protestant traditions. And from chapter 44, it says, "Now let us praise famous men in our fathers in their generations. The Lord apportioned to them great glory, majesty from the beginning. They were apportioned those rulers who ruled out their kingdoms, and men renowned for their powers, giving counsel by their understanding, proclaiming prophecies, leaders of the people in understanding, learning for the people, wise in their instruction, who composed musical tunes, set forth verses and writings. And there were some who have no memorial, who have perished as though they had not lived, and have become as though they were not born, and so have their children after them. But these were men of mercy, whose righteous deeds have not been forgotten. Their posterity will continue forever and ever. Their glory will not be blotted out. Their bodies were buried in peace, and their names will live on to all generations." See, that's what the church is. The church isn't just this group of people in this room, or even all the Christians gathered throughout all the churches in the world. It's all the believers who have ever lived and will ever live. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the God of all of us. See, there are three people today, three kinds of people who are clothed in white. The most obvious are the ministers at the altar, the priests and the acolytes who are going to be serving up here and will be serving you communion, and we're up here in big, fancy white dresses. The second are those who are going to be baptized. And they're also wearing pretty wonderful white dresses. We're not wearing the same kind of white dresses, by the way. But the third are those who are worshiping with us in heaven. And that's why our reading today was from Revelation. Because John has a vision of heaven. While in exile on the island of Patmos, he has this vision of heaven. And he says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes." We don't wear these because we like the fashion. We don't wear these just to be old-fashioned or to stand out or for any other reason. We wear these to remind you that in heaven, when we stand around the throne, we'll all be dressed this way. Piper and Bodie are dressed like this because this is a sign of what they're going to wear when they ultimately stand before the throne in heaven. This is a foreshadowing of what they'll wear for the rest of eternity. This is what you will all wear throughout all the rest of the days and all the ages to ages. This is a glorious thing. Now, there's always talk when we take children to the waters of baptism about why we're taking infants to baptism. Oh, it's not in the Bible. There are five times in the Bible, four times in Acts and one time in 1 Corinthians, where Scripture talks about having a household be baptized. Now, a household was everybody in the household. The wife, the children, the slaves, everybody. And the people who they were baptizing were wealthy people. The idea that there were no children in that household is almost unfathomable. But that's an argument for silence. An argument from silence, excuse me. And arguments from silence are not altogether convincing. In the Epistle to the Colossians, St. Paul makes things a little bit more clear. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, he says, "In him, in Jesus, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, in the working of God who raised him from the dead." In that passage, he directly connects circumcision to baptism. The ancient practice of circumcision to the contemporary practice of baptism. Keeping in mind that Hebrew boys were circumcised when they were 8 days old. There was no, "Hey, are you okay with this? What do you think about this?" What? There was none of that. In the words of a former principal of mine, that's why God gave children parents. God gave children parents to make those decisions. And this is the most important decision that parents make. You know, we don't wait till our children are older to tell them about the important things. We don't wait till they're older to say, "You know, I think it's really important that you not play in the streets, but I should wait till my children are older and let them make that decision on their own. I think that it's important that my children not drink bleach. But I don't want to impose my views on my children because that would be unjust. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We know what's right. We believe what's right. We know this to be the truth. We share the truth with them. There are others who say, "You know, they don't have any say in this. Let's be honest. We didn't have a whole lot of say in it either. It doesn't really matter what age you were." We talk about if we had some point in time where we made a confession. "I was 17 when I came to know the Lord. I was on my back porch sweeping off the leaves when I finally said, 'Okay, I'm done arguing about this.'" And who was the one who really did anything there? Let's be honest, it wasn't really me. It was God. St. Paul makes that really clear in Ephesians. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." By grace, charis, a gift. Did I do anything to get that gift? Oh, I had faith. You know what faith is? It's a gift of the Spirit. I got a gift at every point in time, regardless of our age. We get a gift, whether we're 99 and on our deathbed, whether we're 117 and on our deathbed, whether we're a year old, whether we're 8 days old, God pours out his grace upon us. Amen. This is an amazing time. By God's grace, these children will never know a day outside of the love of God. I know somebody who was once rejected from a Christian organization because he could not express his conversion, because he had always been in church, because he had always known the love of God. How ridiculous. What? I mean, there is not an adjective that I can come up with to express how ridiculous that is. I pray that my children and your children and grandchildren always know the love of God. Always can remember a time that they come before the altar, come before the Lord, and think of it as home. And never have that time when they're like, yeah, I was so far out into the weeds. It was such a horrible time. Why should we have that? Why not have that experience with the Lord that was always like he was our Father? Why not always be home? Why should he who said, let the little children come to me, wait till we're older to bring that to be? This is a fantastic day. We have little children who are going to be brought into the household of God. We have all of us who get to reaffirm the covenant that we've made. I was just I was a year and a half old when I was baptized. I don't remember anything about it, of course. But every time...
Six and one.
You know, there's a lot of advantages to having your parents in a congregation, but there are some drawbacks. Where was I? 3 months. It was in Turkmenistan. There was this Asian guy. It was really bizarre. Want to correct that? No. Anyway, it was in Ohio. It was very mundane. It was beautiful. Anyway, whether you remember it or not, the great thing about the church is 4 times a year we renew these vows, not because they wear out, but because we get to remember them and say, hey, you know what? These are important, and I should be reminded what was said over me, what I got into, that I participated in, that this is what was said for me. This is what's done, and this is what I get to be into. Parents make these things for children all the time. You know? We make medical arrangements for children. We make travel arrangements for children. We make school arrangements for children. We make religious arrangements for children. And eventually, when our children get to a certain age, they make those arrangements on their own. When you get to a certain point, they're going to say these things on their own. At these points in time, we start taking these things on our own. We proclaim them on our own. And we get to say these over and over and over again because they are good words. They are things that we own ourselves. We all get to say these. We all get to own the baptismal covenant because this is what our faith is. And it's not just our faith, it's the faith of the church worldwide. Throughout the world, from the rising of the sun to its going down, there are churches all over that are proclaiming this right now. There are churches that are baptizing people all over the world. There are churches all over the world right now that are renewing their baptismal covenant. And if they're not baptizing people, they're praying for those who are. Realize that people right now, without knowing anything about us, are praying for Piper and Bodie. Because there are churches who are saying, we're not baptizing people, but we're praying for the churches who are. That's the wonderful thing about being knit together in the communion of the elect. That's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious day. And is really, truly worthy of praising the Lord. So let's now get on to the glorious moment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.